Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode one of Life Combos with Tyriana. I'm your host, Tyriana Evans, and I'm so excited for this episode. We are going to dive into a little bit about myself, my background, and how I came to do something I always told myself and other people I would never do. And be careful about what you say you will never do in life, because 98% of the time you are going to probably end up doing it. And for me, that is pursuing a PhD or a doctoral degree in history. It was something I never wanted to do. I never wanted to be in school again for this long of a period. But here I am, just following God. So I'm going to dive a little bit into just my background and how I even got to this point. But I hope you all, you know, grab your favorite drink, your favorite little snack. If you're driving, you know, keep your eyes on the road. But I'm excited to share a little bit about my life and hopefully encourage someone if you're interested yourself in possibly pursuing a PhD in history or like a master's degree. You know, never wanted to always pursue this route, but I started out, I've grown up in Maryland my whole life and I was homeschooled. So that's something I will talk about in future episodes my entire life. So I never attended a traditional school from elementary to 12th grade. And so when I was about 16, I had a life-altering accident that really drastically changed the trajectory of my life. And to be honest, at this point, when I'm getting ready to graduate from high school, I did not take my academics very seriously. I really didn't like school. And even to this day, I can talk a little bit more about why that is. But my goal and dream was to be the first African-American woman to win an individual medal in swimming. I grew up swimming my entire life. I would have two practices a day. I would be in the pool at 4:45 in the morning, and then I would go right back at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and swimming consumed every aspect of my life. It was something that I was incredibly passionate about, something I enjoyed. And I think at such a young age to just fall in love with something and to be so passionate about it was just a dream come true. But when I was 16, I had a very traumatic running accident that left my leg completely just not the way that it used to be. I broke my fibula. I dislocated my knee. I tore my ACL. I tore my PCL, and I had nerve damage. So I remember going to the hospital and looking at the doctor, and obviously I'm 16. So the only thing on my mind is like, okay, so when can I go back to swim practice? And I'll never forget the doctor looking at me and going, we just need to see when you're going to walk again. And I think that's when it really hit me, the gravity of how bad my injury was. So after multiple surgeries and months, almost years of physical therapy, I was able to return back to the pool and swim my senior year of high school. But again, at this point, I knew that I was no longer going to be able to compete at a high collegiate level. So I decided to swim Division III, and my freshman year attended a small university in Virginia where I swam on the swim team. But I think it was also there that I started to realize just the gifts, talents, and abilities God gave me for the classroom and academic learning, and how being homeschooled really positioned me well to excel in college. And so my very first year, I made Dean's List while being a student athlete and never attending like a traditional school setting. And I was just so incredibly humbled and grateful. And I was pursuing a communications degree. But at the same time, I knew the university was not the best fit for me, just social wise and even academic wise. And so I made the tough decision to transfer, and I ended up transferring to my mom's alma mater and an HBCU, a historically black college and university, Bowie State University, where I attended my sophomore year. And this is really pivotal to my story and how I even got interested in pursuing history, because honestly, growing up, all I ever wanted to do was journalism. I spent a lot of time watching Oprah at 4 o'clock every day with my mom if I didn't have some practice. And I just like fell in love with like interviewing TV shows, meeting guests. Like I just pictured myself in Oprah's shoes. And I was like, I think I could do that for the rest of my life. Interviewing people, telling people stories, providing them with a platform, giving them help with whatever they may need at the time, because she was always doing like giveaways and fun stuff. So I just desperately wanted to be her when I grew up. So when I was at Bowie State University, I was pursuing a degree in broadcast journalism. And while I was there, obviously it was a requirement for students to take an African American history class. And by this point, I had not had much of a foundation or background in African American history, just because of the way that history is traditionally taught in the American school system. You don't really learn too much about Black history, with the exception of like enslavement and then civil rights figures. So I'm taking this class and I meet one of my future mentors, Dr. Nicholas Creary, one of the best professors I've ever had in my life. And he is, and to this day, I still talk to him, and he's just been such a huge monumental figure in my life. But I remember sitting in his class and going, wait, I actually like history and I really want to learn more specifically about Black history. And it was the first time in my life that I really felt as though history was relatable to me. I think it's very easy to study history, to study especially United States history. And as you're learning about different figures and as you're reading different books, and you just do not see yourself reflected in those pictures and in those stories. But it's something about studying Black history specifically as an African American that just really helps you to understand more about yourself, about your ancestry, about the struggles and the tribulations and the perseverance and the successes of your people that have all led to you being where you are at this exact moment in the world right now. And it was groundbreaking for me. As I wrapped up my sophomore year, again, I honestly knew I had a 4.0 GPA. My mentor allowed me the opportunity to pursue summer research on lynchings, but convicting lynchers of African Americans. And it was incredibly harrowing to like read those stories and to do that research, but it was also very enlightening. And I knew it was important because I was able to tell the stories of so many people that otherwise would not have been told, because sadly their stories were buried with them after, you know, their lynchings. At this time, I knew that I had 2 years left before I would get my bachelor's degree. And so I made a decision where I didn't really talk to anyone, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to apply to one more school to transfer. I know that this is crazy to attend 3 colleges and universities during your span of just trying to get your bachelor's degree, but I was like, I really, and something you'll hear throughout the story is about my faith, and I knew that God would open the doors that I needed to get to where I wanted to be. And I really kept feeling this nudge from him of being like, hey, like, you need to just apply to one more school. And this will be the support that you need to get your bachelor's degree. And so I remember there were times where I was like driving, because at the time I was commuting to school, and I would drive to school and I would be like crying sometimes because I was unhappy and I didn't feel challenged a lot of the times in the classroom. And I was just like, God, like, I know you have something greater for me, but right now this does not feel like this is where I should be. So after a lot of prayer and crying, I made the decision to apply to George Washington University in Washington, D.C. I didn't tell anyone because I was so nervous that I wouldn't get in. But, you know, I just ordered my transcripts, wrote my little essay to get into the School of Media and Public Affairs, sent off my application. And I'll never forget the day I received the email for whether or not I was accepted. I like had just come home from school. And I opened up the letter and they're like, you know, congratulations, you've been accepted. And I remember just like crying. And I think at the time, like my dad was home and I told him that I got in, and he was like, I didn't even know you applied. I was like, I know, I didn't really tell anyone because I didn't know if I would get into the school or not. And for me, like George Washington University, GW, is what it's also referred to as. It's a really good school. They have a lot of amazing alumni, especially alumni that work in journalism. And I just knew going to the school, being so close to, like literally being so close to the action by living in DC would just open up doors and opportunities that I never could have imagined. So my junior year, I transferred to GW, and it was definitely the best decision I could have made for myself. And I think one thing I want to stress throughout me telling the story is that so many of the decisions that I have made from the standpoint of like, I am scared, but I know that I need to do it. And I really want to encourage anyone that do not let your fear stop you from pursuing something. Like, you can still be fearful and like send the email. You can still be fearful and apply for that dream school that you didn't get into the first time you applied to. You can still be fearful and share your dreams with other people, and maybe they'll encourage you. So I had the best time for 2 years at GW. I made really amazing friends. I had amazing opportunities to learn from some of the best journalists that you see on TV, on CNN, on NBC, ABC. It was just really a God opportunity to just be in that position. But it was also something that was really cool for our graduation is that we have the opportunity as one of the only universities in the world to graduate on the National Mall. And we have this thing called the Student Speaker Competition, where every year students submit a video of them giving a short speech, and a committee, you know, narrows down the list to a finalist, and then the finalists go in front of a judging panel, and then from the judging panel, they select the student commencement speaker. And so a fun fact is that often when I was writing papers or just sitting in my dorm room alone, because during school, I wasn't really a big party person, like I didn't party at all. And a lot of times on Friday nights and Saturday nights in college, like everyone's out, but I was kind of just like in my dorm room, you know, doing homework or watching TV. But I would also watch commencement speeches. It was just really inspiring for me to hear from other students, hear from celebrities, athletes about how to be successful in life and kind of their words of encouragement for the next graduating class that was coming out of school. And when I saw the news about the competition, I decided to apply, and I really didn't tell, again, a lot of people that I was going to do this. So I wrote my speech, submitted the video, and found out that out of, I think, like 62 videos that were submitted, they narrowed it down to 5 finalists, and I was one of 5 finalists for the competition. And so I remember going in person and meeting the other students, and I went in front of the judging panel, gave my speech, and something that was very unique is that I had memorized my speech because I did a lot of memorization throughout elementary, middle, and high school. It was just a big part of our curriculum in homeschooling. And so when I memorized the speech, I didn't look down at my paper. I made eye contact the whole time. And after all of the students went, they brought us all into the room, and they're like, okay, the 2019 winner is. And when I heard Ty, and I like knew like that my name, the rest of my name was being said, I just like instantly put my hands over my mouth and I hugged every other finalist. And I was like, oh my gosh, like you all were so great and you all are so inspiring. And I was just in shock that they had selected me. And so in 2019, I had the opportunity to become the first African-American student commencement speaker for George Washington University. And I gave a speech about overcoming fear in front of 25,000 people in the National Mall. It's to this day still one of the major highlights of my life. And I'm so thankful that God gave me that opportunity and platform to be able to share this encouragement with not only members of my graduating class, but also people who just to this day still may catch the clips on YouTube or on the website. Right after that, I decided to go straight into getting my master's degree, and I packed up my little dorm room and I drove several hours to Syracuse, New York with my family, where I received full funding to pursue a master's degree in Pan-African Studies from Syracuse University. And it was the first time I'd ever had the opportunity to go to school and not have to worry about like student loans or like bills or anything. And it was really nice to just be able to focus on school. Regardless, it was still really hard to do this program. I faced, you know, a lot of hardships. I wanted to do something different with my research that honestly had never really been done in the program. And for me, that is always something that I'm interested in doing, even now to this day, is combining this history aspect with the journalism, because I believe that journalism is a powerful tool to be able to reach mass audiences, but you want to make sure that it's with accurate and critical information. History is important because this is how we understand our world to this day. And oftentimes it's said that journalists are the first to draft history or to write history. So why not be a journalist, but also have a background in history to know, to give context to what you're reporting on in current events and in today's times? So I decided to pursue research on how newspapers covered Black Lives Matter protests. Again, I'm getting my master's in the time of 2020. 2021 is when I graduated. This is time when we are seeing mass mobilization and protests by certain groups, specifically Black Lives Matter and African Americans, who are just completely exhausted by the unjust killings of Black Americans throughout the country, especially in regards to police brutality. I decided to study the newspaper coverage about the protests in honor of Freddie Gray's life. Freddie Gray was killed at the hands of police in Baltimore in 2015. But I also wanted to compare and contrast that to Corinne Gaines, who was also tragically killed by Baltimore police in her apartment. It was through this coverage that I was able to identify just the differences between national news coverage and historical Black newspapers and how they approach their coverage of this movement differently. I decided to work for a national news organization right out of college as a news assistant. So more of like a step above an intern, but it was like a 1-year program. And I worked in the control room as one of like my first assignments, and it was amazing. It was something that a lot of people are just not fortunate right out of college to be able to do, to start at a national news organization. Typically, you start at the local level and work your way up. But I was just thankful that God would even provide that opportunity for me to work in public media and to work on a national news level. Quickly after my time there, I was promoted to become the production assistant of politics, and I will get into another episode about working in journalism, but it was a wild time to be covering politics in this 2021 and 2022. But I also experienced a lot of burnout from this role, and that's something I don't mind talking about in the future. I don't think people realize how draining journalism is, that you are constantly on, there is no off. So even when the television show is over, you're about to go to bed, like you have to keep up with the 24/7 constant news cycle, especially if you're covering national news or national politics. So during this time, I knew I had to either find another job or maybe go back to school. And going back to school was something that I really didn't want to do because I don't think I'm alone in this, but school is school, but I don't think anyone enjoys spending their weekends writing like 30 page papers or reading a whole bunch of different books throughout a semester or having to hope and pray that you get a good grade on your paper so that you can pass this class. Like, it is also stressful to be in school as well as it is stressful to work a 9-to-5. Like, every phase of your life is going to have a difficult aspect to it. But I also, as I've mentioned throughout this podcast, is like, I knew that God was possibly pushing me this direction. And so I would often have, and it's so crazy to look back in like hindsight, but there were times throughout undergrad that people would say to me, especially my mentor, Dr. Puri, he would say, you know, when you pursue your PhD, when you pursue your PhD, remember this. And when you get your PhD, and I would always look at him and be like, I'm not getting a PhD. Like, that's even specifically why I got a master's. I was like, I'll get the master's. It's 2 years. Like, I'll be good. So regardless, I still apply to a couple of PhD programs, but I also apply to another, you know, different jobs in the area. And I soon receive a job, and I start in December of, this is now 2022, a new job doing PR for a tourism organization in Washington, D.C. One of the best jobs I've ever had in my life. It was so much fun. Don't get me wrong, there were hard moments as well, but the opportunity to market your favorite city, which for me is Washington, D.C., is just like a dream come true and something that you don't get the opportunity to do every day. And I enjoyed every single day that I worked there for like the 8 months I was there. But like during, I guess, the 7th and 8th month of like getting ready to work there, I hear back from one of the programs I applied to. And they tell me, hey, like, you know, we want to offer you admission into the program. And I'm sitting here like, I mean, that's great, but now I have a job that like I actually like, and I'm making the most money I've ever made in my life, because in journalism you don't make that much money, but you make more in PR. And I say to the director of the program, like, how long do I have to make a decision about whether or not I'm gonna pursue this program? And he goes, I'll give you a week. And I'm like, okay, a week? It's not that much time, but okay, like, it's fine. I'll figure it out and I'll let you know about my answer. So as something that I've always done, whenever I'm about to make major life decisions, I just seek God. And so I just started praying. Like, you know, at the time I was living at home with my parents. So I just went in my room. I would just like pray. I was, I think I was kind of like fasting for that week too. I was talking to like extended family, and I'm the person that I weigh every pro and con before making a decision. So I'm like, okay, if I pursue this, what's the worst thing that can happen? If I pursue this, what's the best thing that can happen? And as I'm weighing these pros and cons, I kept hearing from God saying, like, you would have been so happy if you didn't get into the program because you didn't want to go back to school. But did you ever consider, what are the plans that I have for your life? What is it that I want you to do? Who are the people that you want, that I want you to reach during your time in this program? And I was like incredibly humble, because I think something that I learned just going back to high school, right, of when I found out that I would never really be able to compete in swimming the way that I used to, and that my dreams of becoming an Olympian were cut short as a teenager. God, I'm gonna get emotional, because there were so many days I would pray to God as a 16-year-old, and I would say, okay, God, like, this is the worst thing that's could have ever happened to me, but I'm going to trust you because I know it's gonna get better. And I was like, I know that this is a moment in my life where either I trust you or I completely walk away from my faith. And I felt that same decision when I was considering whether or not to stay at this job that I liked or to go the PhD route. And I was like, my life is not my own. Like, the lives that we live, as much as we may make decisions and it might feel like we're just living our lives, it's so easy to forget that God put us in this world for a purpose and for a reason. And when we choose to live out the will, you know, when we think about Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so when we walk in the plans of God, sometimes that means saying no and walking away from things that we want to do, from lives that we want to live, from decisions that we want to make. And sometimes it means doing the opposite of exactly what we want to do. I don't know. I hate crying, so this is hard. And so I quickly knew within a few days, even though I had a week, that this is exactly what God was calling me to. And it was the hardest decision I've ever made in my young life because I don't think you realize that, like, okay, I'm walking away again from making the most money I've ever made, from working a job that I love a lot, from having good coworkers and a boss, to this unknown of like pursuing this degree that takes many years, that, there are no guarantees about what you can do with this degree. So I'll never forget, I went to my boss at the beginning, I think like the end of July of 2023. And we're doing our weekly meeting, and I say, I want to let you know that I'm submitting my resignation because I just found out I got accepted into a doctoral program, and I've loved every minute working here, but sadly, I can't work full time because of the funding of the program. And my boss was so happy and so supportive, and all of my coworkers were so happy. And I think it made the decision more comforting for me to know that I was making like the right decision. But man, I'll tell you, that last day of work on August 10th, 2023, and I remember just crying and being like, okay, here we are. And it really felt like, for me, and as you'll learn throughout this podcast, that I love water. I am such a water baby, water person. It really felt like I was just in a boat in the middle of the ocean, but knowing that God was directing me to my destination or to the location that He wanted me to be. So here I am today, 1 year later. I wrapped up at least 1 year of my year one of my PhD program, and it was hard. There were days that I really questioned whether or not I made the right decision, but then there were also little God moments sprinkled in where I felt like God was encouraging me and nudging me to be like, you made the right choice, like you're on the right path. One of those things was I had the opportunity to apply the research skills that I learned in undergrad for studying lynchings to an actual course about newspaper coverage of lynchings, and was quoted in the university's school newspaper. And for me, it was just really a full circle moment to be able to see my undergraduate research still being relevant in my graduate program now. And so I say all of this to say that I don't know what major life decisions you are trying to make right now. I don't know what you're weighing, what pros and cons are going through your head. But if there's anything that I can share with you, and just this that I've learned in this last year, is just you have to trust God, and you have to choose to surrender Him to be like, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know where I'm going to get the money from. I don't know how I'm going to pay all of my bills, but I trust you, God. And I promise you that you will be blown away about how God will show up in your life and send people to encourage you and send resources that you desperately need, and send friends that, in this year I lost so many friends, but I also gained so many friendships and people in my life and reconnected with people that I haven't felt alone in this journey. Like, pursuing a PhD is a very lonely process. It's a lot of time of just you, your research, archives, your computer, and a Word document and your writing. But I made a commitment to myself that I wouldn't isolate myself in this process, and I just wanted to be surrounded by loved ones and friends. And I think I striked a really good balance of that in this last year. So yeah, that is how I came to pursue a PhD, and hopefully I will finish, prayerfully, I will finish in the next 3 years. And we'll be able to, look back on this podcast, look back on this episode, and just be able to provide a different perspective about where I am at that point in my life. But thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate you all taking time out of your day and out of your schedule to listen to what I have to say. But I hope you all will stick around the next episode. So thanks again for listening, and until next time, bye.